follow through with me as we deal with the second subject in our series, Pearls from the Proverbs. Do you know that you will speak enough words in the coming 12 months to fill 66 books of 800 pages each? The average man speaks 20,000 words a day. The average woman, I'm just reporting the facts, folks. The average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. We're a nation of talkers. Talk shows on radio and television, car phones, telephone conference calls, and all the rest of it. We like to talk. Today, 55 million Americans will listen to 400,000 pastors deliver over 1 billion words. And when it's all said and done, more is said than done. Now, look at our text this morning. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 in the Berkeley translation. It says this: He who guards his mouth controls himself, but he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Now, when you think of it, that could be a good commercial for Weight Watchers, couldn't it? The Living Bible says, self-control means controlling the tongue. Proverbs has a great deal to say about our words. There are more than 120 verses related to different things concerning our speech in Proverbs. But I want to summarize all this morning in three statements. We might call this the Sermon on the Mouth. Statement one, think before you speak. Statement two, always speak the truth. And statement three, speak the truth in love. That's it. That's what Proverbs says about our words. Number one, think before you speak. He's saying here, contemplate before you communicate. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 23. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. He says, get your mind in gear before you engage your tongue. Think before you speak. I heard recently about a church in California which serves coffee and donuts after the service each Sunday. They normally order 10 dozen donuts. But on one hot summer recently, those in charge of the refreshment table assumed that a lot of people wouldn't hang around in the heat, and so they called up the bakery and asked them to cut the order in half. So the next Sunday, they got the 10 dozen donuts cut in half. Think before you speak. A wise old owl sat in an oak, and the more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to be more like that bird. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 20. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. How many of you agree with that verse? How many of you are living proof of that verse? Yes. Did you ever set off a chain reaction with your words? People have died for saying the wrong thing. I heard recently about the police who were interviewing a man, and they said, "Can you describe the man who beat you up?" And he said, "Of course I can. That's what I was doing when he hit me." The penny has dropped. Dan Fouts, the former quarterback for the San Diego Chargers, sometime after his retirement said, "Now that I'm retired, I want to say something I've always wanted to say, and it is this. All defensive linemen are sissies." You have to live with the consequences of what you say. Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And look at Proverbs 20, verse 25. It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. You see what Solomon is saying there? He's saying, choose your commitments carefully. Calculate the cost. Think before you speak. It's a trap when you agree to something before you've really thought it through. In spite of what people say, talk is not cheap, my friends. It can cost you a lot. Do you know what it has been said to be the 7 most expensive words in the English language? What do you think they might be? Here's what some people think they are. "I now pronounce you husband and wife." Talk is not cheap, and it's always easier to get in than to get out. It's always easier to get into debt than to get out of it. Have you ever said yes to a salesman and later regretted it? Think before you speak. That's a hard lesson to learn. What you say can make you sick or well, happy or sad, rich or poor. It can get you married or divorced. What you say can win friends or make enemies. What you say can get you hired or fired. So think before you speak. Now evaluate yourself on a scale of 1 through 10. I'm overcommitted and stressed out and paying for it because I didn't think before I spoke. Give yourself a 1. But I always think before I speak. Give yourself a 10. Where are you on the scale? Think before you speak. Number 2. Always speak the truth. Very important. Now, Proverbs deals with all sorts of dishonesty and lying and deceit and exaggeration. But I want to talk for a moment this morning about the failure to be frank with people. Isn't that a form of dishonesty after all? When you don't really tell people the truth. Now, in theory, if I were to say, "How many of you agree that honesty is the best policy?" you would all raise your hands. But in practice, it often works out very differently. We always have a reason why it isn't a good time to be honest in our particular situation. If I told that person the truth, you never know what might happen. He or she might blow up in anger. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 10. Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. Now, why do we hold back the truth? Because, frankly, we're cowards. That's why. We will do anything under the sun to avoid conflict. We don't want to make waves or rock the boat. We just want to keep the peace. And so in a relationship, so many times we will not be honest with a person because we'd rather be passive and keep the peace than make waves and be honest. In many a marriage today, a partner will do almost anything to avoid conflict. Anytime there is the slightest disagreement that looks like it could explode, that partner will retreat into silence. And that can be very damaging to a marriage, because the Bible says someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. What kind of trouble? Let me put it this way. Dishonesty destroys relationships because bitterness begins to arise. You have your feelings hurt, and then you try to suppress those feelings, but the whole thing festers down deep inside you. You stop trusting each other. It's what I would call truth decay. And the relationship begins to come apart because someone won't face the facts. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 26. An honest answer is the sign of true friendship. You know what that says? It says that dishonesty is a lack of love. You don't lie to people you love. You say, "This hurts me to say it just as much as it hurts you to hear it." But we've got to get to the bottom of this problem and we've got to deal with it. You say that because you always tell the truth. And if you don't remember anything else that I say this morning, please remember what I'm going to say now. Intimacy is a result of truth, and truth always results in conflict. I'm saying that if you've never had any conflict, you've never really gotten down to some deep, basic issues. You've been superficial in your relationship. Scott Peck, in his book, The Different Drum, talks about the tunnel of chaos that you have to go through from superficiality to intimacy. It's a tunnel of conflict where you lay out all the cards on the table and you say, "This is wrong and this is wrong and this is what you need and this is what I need, and we're going to work through it by the grace of God and come to a resolution." And then out of that comes genuine intimacy in a relationship. Many people live in superficial relationships because every time they start to deal with an issue, conflict arises and they back off and they say, "Forget it. I'm not going to make any waves. We'll just not deal with the issue. We'll pretend it isn't there and we'll hide our heads in the sand." Look at this next verse, Proverbs 28:23. In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. You see, the alternative to being truthful and honest in a relationship is to play games. In marriages today, in churches, in offices, you see people playing games, saying things when they really mean something else. They simply refuse to deal with the problems and face them head on. Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble, says Solomon, because superficiality in relationships is no way to live, and eventually the relationship will die. Being frank with people means that you love them. You love your children, and that's why you correct them when they need it. The same should be true in employer-employee relationships. being honest and frank and pointing out mistakes when they are made. So often we think that if we offer constructive criticism to someone, then that person won't like us. But that is seldom, if ever, true. You love your children and you correct them when they need it, and because you love them. And as they grow up, they respect you and they love you because you discipline them wisely and fairly and in love. You see, being frank with someone means that you really care about that person. Overlooking faults and failures means that you don't care. That's why the Bible says, think before you speak, and then always speak the truth. If there is simmering conflict in a relationship and it's not dealt with, one of two things will inevitably happen. Number one, the conflict will build up until there is an explosion. Or number two, the relationship will simply die a slow death. It's tragic that so many people don't have truly intimate relationships simply because they are unwilling to be truthful and go through the conflict necessary to produce intimacy. So evaluate yourself 1 to 10. How honest am I with those who are closest to me? If you say, they have absolutely no idea the frustration I'm going through, give yourself a 1. If you say, they know the issues, but we just don't talk about them, give yourself a 2. If you say, we have intentionally put all the cards on the table and we're working through the conflict and we can see real resolutions to our problems, give yourself a 10, because that's very, very rare. So Solomon tells us to think before we speak and always to speak the truth. And then thirdly, he says, always speak the truth in love. That's the qualifier. You don't use truth as a battering ram. Proverbs 12:18 says, thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. Isn't that beautiful? Notice that it says you can hurt people or you can heal with your words. That's true, isn't it? I'm sure you've both been healed and hurt by words. I must confess that as I look back over the years, I grieve over some of the thoughtless things I have said to people that I love the most. Have you ever heard someone try to justify his insensitivity by calling it candor? You know, well, I just say what I feel. I tell it like it is. I just speak what's on my mind. Solomon calls a person like that a fool, because that is not a virtue, it's a vice. The Bible commands us to speak the truth in love. Look at Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words cause life and health. That just means that goodness and graciousness go together. The good person is the gracious person. Notice the power of gentle words. They cause life and they cause health. So you care enough to confront, but you confront in love, because that produces life and health. The verse goes on to say, but griping brings discouragement. And how true that is. A pastor was in a hospital room one day with a wife and a doctor and a man who had been lying there in a coma for several weeks. The doctor said to the man's wife, "He's not going to come out of it. It's just a hopeless situation." And the doctor walked out of the room. And that pastor walked over to the bedside, got down to the man's ear, and he said, "John, I know that you heard what the doctor said just now. But John, he's wrong. You are going to make it, and you're going to come out of this coma, and I don't care what that doctor says, you are going to recover." And you know what happened? Tears began to well up in that man's eyes and run down his cheeks. That man did come out of the coma sometime later, and he recovered, and he's active in his church in California today. And he said later that the turning point in his recovery was that loving, inspired message that said, "John, you're going to make it." He said that all of a sudden I wanted to live. Gentle words cause life and health. Indeed, they do. Proverbs 12:25 says, "A word of encouragement does wonders." Would you agree with that? And you know something? I read what you write on the back of the friendship cards every week. And I'll tell you this. I can go for 2 weeks on one good compliment. It motivates me and it gets me up to try harder next week. One of my favorite characters in the New Testament is Barnabas, because his name means the encourager. The encourager. I can't think of a better epitaph for a Christian's tombstone than to have engraved under your name these two words, the encourager. The encourager lifts people up when others are discouraging them. So be an encourager. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. You're going to meet a lot of people next week. And do remember this, everybody's having a rough time. Everyone is hurting in some area of his or her life. So be kind. Be kind to everybody you meet. Let me give you some homework this morning. Build up everyone you come into contact with this week, will you? Build them up. Don't tear them down. Don't give a put down, but speak a word of encouragement. Speak the truth in love. An encouraging word does wonders. Now evaluate yourself on this third point. How often do I encourage others? Do I give more strokes than pokes? Do I brag about my children more than I nag at them? If you say, I hardly ever encourage anybody, give yourself a 2. If you say, I have a plan to give a sincere compliment to the people around me as often as I possibly can, give yourself a 10. Have you ever been like me and say, you know, I just said something and I'm so surprised that I said it. That's not like me at all. Oh, yes, it is. It's exactly like me and you because, friends, let me tell you, our words are the window to our soul. Our words reveal our character. Our words are exactly what we are. So go home from this service today, and for the rest of your life, Think before you speak, and always speak the truth. And always speak the truth in love. You see, the problem really is not my tongue. It is my heart. Didn't our Lord Jesus himself say in that passage that was read to us this morning, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And Jeremiah, in his book, in the 17th chapter, in the 9th verse, he says, the heart is the most deceitful thing there is, and it's desperately wicked. No one can really know how bad it is. Only the Lord knows. Isn't that true? That's why the first thing that God has to do for us to make us whole is to give us a new heart. You know something? He specializes in heart transplants. And if you've never opened your heart and life to Jesus, do it today. He will give you a new heart. And that is what it means to be born again. Let's bow our heads. The principles found in God's Word are not there to hurt us. They're there to help us and to heal us. And all through the book of Proverbs, it says that self-control means, amongst other things, controlling the tongue. Would you say, God, help me to think before I speak? I say things to my wife, my husband, my parents, my children that I have no business saying. I say it in a fit of frustration or anger or jealousy or fear. And I've got myself into a lot of trouble by the things I have said that have hurt. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword. Some of you need to ask forgiveness for the things you've said. And would you say, Father, help me always to speak the truth, to even risk confrontation in order that a relationship may be made genuine and intimate? And then would you say, Lord, help me always to speak the truth in love, to be an encourager, not a discourager. Of course, to do these things, we need God's power in our life. Ask Jesus to give you that new heart that we all need. Trust him to forgive your sins because he died to bear the punishment for your sin, the sin that you and I should have borne ourselves. He will save and empower you if you will simply ask him in penitence and in faith. How wonderful is your word, O Lord. It meets us right where we live. Help us always to think before we speak, to always speak the truth, and to speak it in love. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.